We're talking today with Jeremy Hinton. Jeremy and Joanna Hinton operate Hinton's Orchard and Farm Market. The farm's in Hodgenville. And Jeremy, you have more locations than just the farm. Is that right?
We do. As of about 3 years ago, we expanded our operation a little bit and took on a second location in Elizabethtown. It was an existing business that had been a garden center type operation, and owners were ready to take a step back from that business, and so we were able to purchase their business and some equipment, and expanded the greenhouse portion of our business, and grew into the Elizabethtown market. It's a market that we were in already. We get a lot of our customers here at the farm come from Elizabethtown, but we were able to blend the two businesses together. Theirs being garden center flowers and ancillary home garden kind of items, and ours being more focused in the direction of the produce, and kind of blend those two things together. So we're doing more garden center related things at the farm now, but we're also selling our produce and apples and peaches and pumpkins and all those things, and our baked items and preserves and those kind of things, selling at the market in Elizabethtown. So it's been kind of a nice blend of the two markets together.
Lots of different products there that you're growing and making, and we're talking in the fall of 2018, so it's farm market and fall festival season. You do a lot with agritourism and wanted to focus a little bit on that. So for those listening, just how do you describe agritourism and what that is?
You know, I think those of us in agritourism, and I guess have been involved in agritourism for about 15 years, and I think that's been a question the whole time I've been involved in agritourism, is what really is agritourism? And for us, it's any time that we have a guest on the farm, whether it be just to walk in and buy a tomato in the summertime, or whether it's a school tour that comes out and we show them around the farm and give them some apple cider and a pumpkin, or whether it's a family that comes out on the weekend in the fall to do our corn maze and hay rides, and our we do some festivals throughout the year, more in the fall, but a couple others that we do during other seasons of the year. And so anytime that we have guests here on our farm, we want to treat them in that way, like a guest. They're a customer, but they're also our guest. And so we want to try to show that hospitality and operate like a tourism kind of business all the time as part of our just the way we operate our markets.
When you, as you were getting started growing produce and farming, did you see agritourism as being a big part of what you would be doing? Or tell me a little bit about how you got started into that.
We actually started, well, back up a step further. I had grown a little sweet corn and a little bit of produce before Joanna and I married. And then pretty quickly after we got married in 2002, we leased an existing apple orchard. Owner had passed away, and his wife was looking for somebody to kind of take over what was a family business. He was actually third generation in the orchard business, but his kids weren't interested in it. And so we leased that as kind of an opportunity, you know, starting our own venture in our own business. And it was a good opportunity for us to dip our toes into the orchard business a little bit, but pretty quickly saw some opportunity there for the agritourism piece to be more than just a place where people came to buy things, but to make it more about the experience of coming to the farm. And I have an ag education degree from UK, and so I've I've always had a passion about educating people about agriculture and teaching them about where their food comes from, and chose not to pursue the path of teaching high school kids in depth, you know, every day about agriculture, but feel like this is a good opportunity for me to use those skills and experience and pursue that passion of teaching people a little bit about where their food comes from, instead of doing it with, you know, a class of 25 high school kids. We do it with a couple thousand kindergarten, first grade age kids every year, but hopefully plant that seed with them about where their food comes from. So I think from the beginning of that, we saw it as an opportunity. We saw it as an important piece of what we're doing. And as we rented that farm for a couple of years, and then we were able to buy the farm where we are now in 2006 and move over here. And from the start, that business, when it became Hinton's Orchard and Farm Market, we knew that agritourism was a big piece of what we wanted to do, and the business that we wanted to build was going to be focused around that experience of coming out to the farm.
So you mentioned school tours that you do. Is that something that you started out right away, or tell me a little bit about how the agritourism grew and kind of expanded, diversified as in the last 10 years especially?
Okay. Yeah, school tours have always been a part. They did a few school tours, the previous operators at the farm that we leased, and so we started even over there doing a few school tours, a couple hundred kids a year over there, and that has continued to grow. We've plateaued a little bit in terms of numbers, but we've really reached a point where we feel like we can do the tour that we want to do with these kids and give them the information and give them the experience that we want to give. And if we get, I guess if we get past that number, we don't feel like we can do quite as much with the kids as we want to. And so, I won't say we're turning away any new groups, but at the same time, we're not really out advertising and pursuing. We're going to be somewhere around 2,500 kids this year, and so you know, that's touching a lot of kids, and so we're not looking to really grow that past where we are now, but that kind of became the start of in a good lead into the things that we wanted to do the rest of the season. Especially in the fall, for those kids that come out on a field trip with their class, and then we'd see those same kids come back on the weekend and want to bring their little brother and sister and mom and dad or whoever out and show them what they learned at the farm and give them that same experience. And so that's been neat to see those kids coming back around and say, you know, hey, Mr. Jeremy, I was here with my class and I brought my little brother back. So that's fun to see.
Yeah, thinking about that, one of the things about farm markets, and as we talk about agritourism, is increasing the number of times that people come to visit the farm, not only in the fall, but over the course of the season. And so what are some of the ways that you've discovered that that's occurred besides from the school tours?
Increasing the number of offerings that we have. Strawberries has been a big addition for us and a big draw early in the year. And we do a strawberry festival most years. We haven't done one the last couple of years just because of the timing of the strawberry crop and trying to get the Elizabethtown market the handle on that with the flower business. Is speaking about the same time as strawberries, so that's a hectic time for us. But giving those other opportunities with that strawberry festival and with Pick Your Own Strawberries, the same that same demographic of families with young kids looking for that experience of being outdoors and doing something together as a family that we see in the fall, that's the same group of people that want to come and do that kind of thing in the spring with pumpkins. We don't get as much of that in the summertime, just because we don't do U-picking into peaches. We do some in blackberries, but not as much of the experience kind of activities in the summertime as there is in the spring and the fall. But trying to expand that offering of different things and try to make sure that we're cross promoting our other activities, our other seasons and products, even when folks are out here in the fall. And like with the school tours, we make sure that we talk about strawberries and we talk about peaches and we talk about all the vegetables that we grow, and make that part of the conversation when they're here. Hey, if you come back in the summer, you can see peaches hanging on the trees, or if you come back in the spring after it warms up, and you can pick strawberries. And just making that part of the experience in the fall to let people know that they can come back other times of the year to have some of those same experiences. And then in terms of increasing the number of times that we see those folks in our business, a lot of that was the motivation behind being in Elizabethtown. We see a lot of those customers that we would see at the farm two or three times a year for those strawberry season once, and maybe for peaches once, and then for a trip in the fall. We see a lot of those people now who are making our E-Town store. While it's not as much about the experience of going to the farm, it's that same product that's available, and so they're making that more of a kind of a regular grocery, you know, weekly, every 2 weeks kind of stop to pick up produce and things to have for their meals at home. And so it's become more of a regular stop for those people. And so that's been rewarding to see that customer base grow and those folks shopping with us in E-Town.
Have you seen your agritourism business expand in terms of the kinds of customers or visitors that you have, maybe beyond families and what we think of as traditional agritourism audiences?
We have. Today is kind of a good example of that, I guess. We had three groups here today. Our first group this morning was an adult daycare type group with some adults who were pretty severely limited mentally and physically, and some wheelchairs. But we give those folks a tour, much like what we do with the elementary kids, and we take them on a hayride, and we let them pick a pumpkin, and we let them see the machine where we wash and sort the apples, and they seem to really enjoy that, being outside and just having that experience. And so that was a fun group. And then we had a group of kindergarten and first grade students that we did our tour with, and hay rides and corn maize and all that. Not corn maize with that group, hay rides and pumpkins. And then at lunchtime, we had a group of upper management from one of the hospitals in the area that came out, and we served them lunch, and they did our corn maze as kind of a team building type exercise and split up into groups and did the scavenger hunt that we do in the maze. Did some activities under the pavilion, and then we took them on a hayride and picked pumpkins. So there are those other groups out there. We do some corporate events. We had a couple of those over the weekend. One factory from Elizabethtown and another from Bardstown that pays for their employees to come out and pays their admissions and pays for food for them to come out and have lunch and do hay rides and pick pumpkins and do all that stuff. So we have seen those things grow beyond just the school tours, and it's been kind of interesting to see what groups show up, call and want to do those kinds of activities. So we've done a couple of large corporate events here for 100, 150 people for some larger groups. We did one for Amazon a couple of years and had their employees come up for kind of a kickoff to their busy holiday season. And so we're always looking for those opportunities to do, you know, to do different kinds of events for different groups.
How does that word spread? Is it mainly through word of mouth, or do you intentionally seek out those kinds of groups, or how does that, or maybe all of those?
Yeah, a little bit of all of those. With our website, and we try to do some through Facebook through the season, make some posts about, you know, different ideas for outings. But I think a lot of it is through word of mouth and maybe a family is here with their child on a school tour, and then they want to come back on the weekend with the rest of their family, and then they talk about it at work, and they say, "Hey, we should take a group from work out there to do something." And so, I think all of those kind of things feed on themselves, and it I guess it reemphasizes how important it is to do the little things and to do a good job with people no matter when they're here. Whether it's here with their kids' field trip, you never know if that might be the person who owns a small business that might want to bring all of their employees back out sometime and do a big event. So you have to always be on and your A game and giving them the best experience you can, and hope that those opportunities present themselves down the road.
Now you're not only growing produce, but you're also growing relationships with people. And
sure.
What were some of the things that you maybe didn't expect, or that you felt like you did pretty well, even looking back?
You know, I think the thing that you have to be prepared to do, and had this conversation with the group from the hospital, there's anytime you deal with the public, there's all kinds of people out there. And I would say there's 99 people that come here prepared to have a good time and do have a good time. But then there's always that one out of 100 that you're not going to please. And I am guilty of letting those people bother me more than I should sometimes. And so I think you have to be prepared to put your best effort to please everyone and try your best, and know that sometimes you're going to fall down on that, and that there's going to be some people who are not going to be happy with what you did, despite how hard you try. But you can't let that ruin the good experiences that you had with the other 99. You have to be able to swallow that one once in a while that it just isn't happy. I think you always have to be willing to look and be ready to capitalize, and you don't know where that opportunity is going to be, or what the next thing that might work, and be prepared to try some things that didn't work, that don't work along the way. And even things that work for some people may not work for your agritourism operation. So you try things and you look at other operations. We're always looking at what other folks are doing and trying to figure out if there's something that we should add or do differently, or if there's a way to do something that we do better, and just always look for ways to improve. The biggest thing for us has been just about the diversity, and we grow 30 different crops. Mm-hmm. Which makes me kind of insane sometimes when I'm trying to match up chemicals and irrigation and everything for that many different crops. But to have that diversity in the market, I think has got a lot of value.
What is your the farm website, and that if people would want some more information about
sure.
you all and what you're doing?
Yeah, our website is Hinton's Orchard, Hintons Orchard.com. And then we also got a real active Facebook page, and I can just search for Hinton's Orchard there on Facebook. And we try to have a little more permanent, I guess, presence on the website, and it doesn't change as much We'll make some seasonal changes as we go through the year on the website, but for more of a kind of every few days kind of update, Facebook is really the way that we communicate most of that stuff out, and the way that we engage with most of our customers. It's really been the best marketing tool for us in what we've tried to do, and to try to stay engaged with customers that come out in the fall, and hopefully they'll like us while they're here, or maybe they'll tag us in a picture, and then we feel like we've got that that ability to communicate with those folks year round, and to talk about strawberries when they start to come in, and then to talk about peaches and all the other things that we do through the year. You alluded to this a little bit, but we're open. Our market in Elizabethtown will open late March, and then at the farm we usually open about the 15th of April. We'll be around a lot earlier than that, working in the greenhouses. And of course, if people come in, you know, and find us in the greenhouse, we're open. But and then we'll be open until right before Christmas, usually the 22nd, 23rd of Christmas. We do some fruit baskets and gift baskets at Christmas time, and then we also do trees and wreaths. We don't grow those, but we do bring in some live trees and wreaths to sell at both places. So that's been kind of the end of the season for us, is Christmas, and then we close until end of March, first part of April.
Well, I really appreciate you taking time here in the middle of the busy fall season to visit with us, and thanks very much.
Sure. Well, you're very welcome. Glad to be part of it.